Good evening, Madam Mayor, Deputy Mayor, and Council Members. Thank you very much for the opportunity to give you all an update on our work to date on potential options for Sound Transit 3. Let me just get my slideshow going here. I'm going to ignore that security alert and move on.
I'm sure IT will have no problem with that.
Yeah. Okay, so a few things that we want to go over tonight. And, you know, we've heard from the community. There are a lot of questions. Why are we even considering high-capacity transit at all in Kirkland? And why particularly on the Cross-Kirkland Corridor, the CKC? I'll run through those questions and some answers, and please feel free to interrupt me and ask questions as we move along. Then we'll go through a little bit of background on Sound Transit and Sound Transit 3 projects that are under consideration, and talk a little bit about next steps. So this is just the backdrop. The region is growing, as we all know. It's growing dramatically. The projections between 2010 and 2040 for the area, not just Kirkland, but for the region, 35% population increase and 57% job increase. So all of these new residents and new employees are going to be moving around and through our region. So why do we need high-capacity transit? I think we've all experienced today's Kirkland crawl. We do have traffic congestion problems. And as you know, we're taking a multimodal approach to addressing those problems. It will only get worse with more development if we aren't successful in getting high-capacity transit to the city. Our transportation master plan has a multimodal approach that includes pedestrian connectivity, bicycle networks, our new ITS, or Intelligent Transportation System, which is our traffic management system that helps get cars through intersections more quickly using cameras and high-tech software. And transit is absolutely key to the success of our master plan. And in particular, along the Cross-Kirkland Corridor, it's one of the few, in fact, it's the only north-south transportation corridor through the city that isn't clogged up. I'm going to show you a little video clip here. Take a look. Walks you through various modes of transportation. This is a piece that was done by the International Sustainability Institute, and it is a modeling that was done on 2nd Street in Seattle. Gives you an idea of what we're talking about and why we really do need high-capacity transit. Buses and trains just move people a lot more efficiently and in a lot less space. So here's kind of a congested slide to talk about congestion. Our Cross-Kirkland Corridor, the city is very proud of it. I am delighted that the citizens love it so much and are using it so much. And I think all of you know I commute on it every day on my bike myself. It's a wonderful asset. But it is just a small segment of a much larger transportation corridor, which is the East Side Rail Corridor. And the regional partners who own the corridor, and there are multiple entities that own and have interests in the corridor, all have a vision and have all planned around high-capacity transit on that corridor. And it, as you can see, it's a very critical link running north and south. Sound Transit has easement rights for high-capacity transit on the corridor, and that easement and those rights precede our ownership, precede Kirkland's ownership of the corridor. We purchased the corridor with the intent of putting high-capacity transit on it. The intent has always been multimodal for pedestrians, bikes, and transit. We were fortunate to move ahead and get the interim trail and access to pedestrians and bikes sooner than transit, but it never was the intent to stop there. And we have a beautiful master plan for the corridor. a lot of work went into it, a lot of community outreach, and the design is, or the design concepts are phenomenal. The corridor, I think a lot of people don't recognize, is 100 feet wide. There's plenty of room to fit high-capacity transit in the corridor and have lovely trails, lovely places where people can walk, bike, commute by bike, bring their families, gathering spaces. All of this can happen, and it's all compatible with high-capacity transit the way that we've planned it. So a few factoids. There are many jobs and many homes within 2,000 feet of the Cross Kirkland Corridor, 1,800 businesses, over 18,000 employees, and the CKC connects 13 neighborhoods, and there are over 25,000 residents living within a half a mile. So those are a lot of people who right now are getting into their single occupancy vehicles and adding to the Kirkland crawl. Growth projections in Totem Lake, as we all know, are astounding. Looking to 2035, there's a possibility, given the existing zoning, of a new 38,000 almost employees and 9,000 housing units. That is incredible. There's no way our existing infrastructure can handle that kind of growth with just single occupancy vehicles. Similarly, there's a lot of growth happening downtown. We know about the Park Place development that's moving ahead, 3,000 new employees there and about 300 new housing units. The Google campus is expanding as well. And we have encouraged development along the corridor. This isn't happening by accident. This is a way that we can get growth in our city without adding to congestion. And then there's the South Kirkland Park and Ride and transit-oriented development, which, again, is at the south end of our Cross Kirkland Corridor, but is really right smack in the middle of the East Side Rail Corridor, that larger transportation corridor. So, kind of a reminder of where we were with our master plan. This is one of the images. It's the vision for the master plan. It has always been envisioned as a multimodal asset. And again, this kind of gives you an idea of how wide it is and how one could lay it out to keep it family-friendly, park-like, and also still a corridor that allows for bikes, pedestrians, and high-capacity transit. Here are some images taken from the CKC master planning effort. And again, all along, the idea has been to put high capacity on the corridor. And this is how it would work. And I think a lot of people are afraid that, and some of the feedback that I've heard is, oh my God, you're going to put a bus or a train right on top of the trail and right down smack the middle of the corridor. That is not what our master plan says. That is not what we are advocating. We will have to do some work with Sound Transit to make this vision real, because right now, you know, the easiest thing to do would be to plop high-capacity transit on the center of the corridor. But our master plan envisions that the high-capacity transit would be on the east side, the non-view side of the corridor, that the existing trail could remain where it is. We're looking at providing more than one trail option so that faster bikes, I mean, I ride it every day, and there are times when faster bikes are coming up quickly on people who are walking or who have their dogs or their kids. The trail, the corridor, will always remain completely open to pedestrians in all of these areas. But it would be helpful to have one area more set aside for commuters and one more set aside for walkers and kids on trikes and that sort of thing. Any questions on that before I move on to the transit options? Okay. So what exactly do we mean when we're talking about transit? There are two transit entities in our region, Sound Transit, which is a regional transit authority, and they operate bus, express bus and commuter rail and light rail service, and they service primarily the major employment centers and the high-density housing areas. King County Metro Transit has bus service that runs all over the county and is more general and broad in terms of their service. But both of these entities are doing their long-range planning efforts right now, and they are, thank goodness, doing it in a coordinated fashion with the goal of integrating their services. Sound Transit 3 is the third round of regional transit investments that is being planned for right now. It's guided by Sound Transit's long-range plan, and for Kirkland, what they're looking at right now are three possible projects, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. But the stage that Sound Transit is in right now is they have a list of candidate projects that is basically too big and too long, and they're looking at winnowing those projects down. And it's our goal to make sure that we receive service out of Sound Transit 3 and that we don't get completely winnowed out in that process. They're targeting November 2016 election for funding, a vote for the funding for ST3. And again, as I mentioned before, they're looking at an integrated approach with Metro's long-range plan. So how can ST3 help Kirkland? As I said earlier, high-capacity transit is key. It is fundamentally, absolutely essential for us to deal with our traffic congestion problems. There is no way in the world that we could add enough lanes going north-south. There isn't enough money. There isn't enough public will. It would be years and years of condemnation to try and build roads or widen roads going north and south. And even if we did that, you'd get people jumping off of 405 and other congested areas and refilling those streets. The only way around congestion really is high capacity transit coupled with good planning and good pedestrian and bike connections to transit and to major hubs within the city. So that goes right along with Sound Transit's priorities. They're looking at multimodal access. They're looking at integrating their plans with Metro Transit's. They're promoting good land use decisions, and Kirkland is right there in terms of how we're promoting our land use and our development centers. Their intended goals are in lockstep with Kirkland's. As I said, Metro Transit and Sound Transit are integrating their planning efforts. You have Metro's strategic plan and Sound Transit's long-range plan, both of which are moving forward to initiatives for new service or expanded service. They're coordinating their public outreach. They're looking at a future integrated network. And they're sharing modeling assumptions. So this is really good for our region that our two transit agencies are working together, and they're pretty much on the same timeline as well. So, and this is a timeline that overlaps the Metro and Sound Transit efforts. But what I want to point out here is one of the reasons that I think all of us, and I've heard from the community, and we've even heard tonight, people are feeling rushed and pressured. But there is a time pressure, and it's right here. In December, there will be a draft network plan for ST3. And Kirkland needs to make sure that there are projects on that list that provide us the service that we need in that draft that comes out in December. The December isn't the end all. They're finalizing the network plan in February and March. But if you're not in that first cut or that next cut that comes in December, it will be really hard to get projects added.
I would also add, before go off that slide, that the Sound Transit timeline really started in end of June. and we had to rush in June, July to get any plans in August. So the city really had to move fast, and that was because Sound Transit didn't get their taxing authority until the state legislative session ended. And as we all know, that went very long this time. So we have had very little time to get up to speed and engage this process and even keep Kirkland projects alive. And now we're trying to catch up with the council, catch up with the public, and say, help us shape this so that if there is a Sound Transit package, it actually works for Kirkland.
So what are our priorities? First of all, we want to make sure that that we know what the financial capacity of the East Side is. What is Kirkland putting into Sound Transit, and what are we getting out of it? And, of course, it's a regional service, and that isn't one for one, dollar for dollar, but we certainly do want to make sure that we get the service that we need out of the ST3 package. We want to advance on the last round of Sound Transit investments, and in Kirkland, those were the Kirkland Transit Center and also the Totem Lake connection. We want to connect our major employment and housing centers. We want to make sure that there's a consideration for bus rapid transit as well as light rail transit on the Cross Kirkland Corridor. Lots of reasons for that. And, you know, trains are cool, and people play with electric trains, and people think that trains are the best of all possible high-capacity transit options. But really, when you dive into it and look at your various options, trains are not very flexible. They have to run on the track. So as needs change, you can't change. There are lots of new innovative kinds of buses that are coming out. And looking to the future, there are electric buses, there are quiet buses, and there are ways to put a bus rapid transit service on the CKC that really fits in with our community. So we want to make sure that that's considered. We want to support transit-oriented development up in the Totem Lake Urban Center. And one of the projects that we'll talk about is bus rapid transit on I-405. And we want to make sure that if that project moves forward, that there are stops in Kirkland so that our community can use that service. But no matter what we do on the Cross Kirkland Corridor, no matter what mode ends up in ST3, we want to make sure that is a size and a scale and that fits Kirkland, that is consistent with our CKC master plan, and that won't hurt our existing trail and the amenities that we currently enjoy along the corridor. So the major candidates for the ST3 project list, the first one is I-405 bus rapid transit. The second one would be light rail from Totem Lake to Issaquah via Bellevue. And the third one is bus rapid transit from Totem Lake to Bellevue via downtown Kirkland. E03, the light rail, and the last two options, light rail and bus rapid transit, would both be on the Cross Kirkland Corridor. So I've learned a lot about bus rapid transit going through this process, this very accelerated process. And I've had a lot of questions from community members about what is bus rapid transit? What do you mean? What are you talking about? And a lot of people have an image of giant buses just blasting through at 60 miles an hour, and that is absolutely not what we're talking about. The rapid in bus rapid transit means that it's frequent, it's reliable, and you can get places quickly. That doesn't mean it has to be high speed. There are specialty vehicles that can be used in BRT that, quite frankly, look a lot like trains. An important feature on the CKC would be exclusive lanes only for the bus rapid transit, which would make it more reliable, and full-featured stations, and again, frequent services. So, BRT is used all over the U.S. and all over the world. Very successful examples of where BRT has been integrated with trails and multi-use, multimodal corridors. The city would be looking at what's called the gold standard BRT. High quality, fit in with your community. We're not looking at just regular old buses running on a CKC. Here's some examples, and there's some pretty cool examples around the world of bus rapid transit. Here's one example in Eugene. The Cambridge one is particularly similar to our CKC. In this case, you've got buses running on, this is an old rail bed, it's wide. You have paved runways for the bus tires, but grass in between, and you have a bike trail and walking trail right next to it. And this functions very well in Cambridge. And again, one of the things that we would be looking at would be electric buses on our corridor. Las Vegas is Las Vegas. I mean, it's cool. It's probably a bit more than we would want on the CKC, but another example of these aren't necessarily your everyday buses. Here's one in Parma, Italy, a BRT system. Jakarta. And Van Hool is a company that builds coaches, buses, and BRT, particularly BRT buses. And here's an example of how the interior can look. And again, often they make these look more like trains than like the buses that we think of. And high-tech, rider information on the inside of those buses as well. So any questions on BRT on the CKC? And sorry for all the acronyms.
Mr. Escher.
You mentioned two projects, one BRT and the other light rail.
Yes.
On the Cross Kirkland Corridor. Are we likely to get both of those projects?
I don't think we're likely to get both of those. One of the concepts, though, is BRT now and light rail later, when a light rail system is built out. We have talked with Sound Transit and Metro Transit about mixing and matching, and as we get into some of these, we can talk a little bit more about. But the concept being perhaps there could be light rail from Issaquah to Bellevue and then BRT from Bellevue to Totem Lake. That concept makes good sense. It's not the way that it's currently laid out in the candidate projects, but that's a possibility. So, you certainly wouldn't build both at once, but you could build one to transition to the other, or you could mix and match them.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So quickly jumping off of the CKC and moving to I-405, there is a candidate project that is not just in Kirkland. It's bus rapid transit between Linwood and SeaTac on I-405. And what's really important for us is that it stops in Kirkland and that there's a way for our citizens and our employees to get to the stop and get on the bus. I'm sad to say that the low-cost option that they're looking out kind of blasts right through Kirkland. There is a stop at Totem Lake. But Sound Transit has been working with us and our consultants on options for a stop at 85th. And I think we've come up with an elegant solution that is relatively low-cost, and I'm kind of proud of the work that we've done there. Here's what we're thinking of: an inline station on the freeway. So the bus would stop on the freeway without having to pull off on 85th. And it, as you know, on 85th, we've got the grade separation, really steep hill coming down 85th and the freeway up above. So there would be a stop on the freeway with a connection to the two buses that would run back and forth on 85th down below. And our idea was that is that that bus service would circulate in the downtown area so people could get from the transit center and the 6th Street corridor and up to this 85th BRT. So the buses would stop underneath the freeway and passengers could go up an elevator or an escalator. And this is sort of a bird's eye view. That would be the freeway. The bus would stop up there. The buses would run up and down east and west on 85th and would stop down below the freeway with an elevator and an escalator going up to the BRT station. This is a much less expensive concept than the initial ideas, which were to build some giant connector that would sort of create a bridge that would come down and connect with Central somewhere around 6th. This is a much simpler and less expensive solution and really less intrusive to the city. This one, looking at bus rapid transit that would run along the CKC. Any questions on BRT on I-405? Okay. So looking at the CKC alignment for bus rapid transit, it would run from Totem Lake to downtown Bellevue. And it would be primarily on an exclusive runway, sort of similar to what we looked at that Cambridge system. 6 to 8 stations in Kirkland. We'd need 25 to 35 feet of the corridor to build this, and you know the wider parts being where the stations are. And on this one, you know, someone could just hop on the bus from Kingsgate and go down to Bellevue. The other idea with this is that potentially other Metro Transit routes could run along the CKC, which would improve their service time substantially. So this is a graphic that shows that concept. And so the gray would be the BRT that we talked about earlier on I-405. The green would be new bus rapid transit service on the Cross-Kirkland corridor. The orange would be existing Metro Transit service that right now runs from the north, from Bothell, Woodinville area, down 405 and onto 520. And the huge advantage of rerouting that onto the CKC would be to avoid the interchange at 405 and 520. And then lastly, the blue route would be to take buses that run basically the 255 that run from Kirkland to Seattle. We've done some very initial analysis analysis of current ridership. We haven't done projections of new ridership if this service became available, but just taking existing ridership data, basically what this chart shows is that BRT has the potential to move a lot more people more quickly and easily than light rail on the CKC. They are both high-capacity transit, but because buses can go off and on the dedicated route, there's just a lot more flexibility with those. As I mentioned, we've done some preliminary concept design. We brought on some engineers to take a look at the what we call the pinch points on the corridor, not only in Kirkland, but also in Bellevue. And they have preliminary engineering concept solutions for those tight areas. It works. It works, and it doesn't adversely impact the trail. And so, any questions on the bus rapid transit option on the Cross Kirkland corridor?
I would add we did a rough estimate of how many buses would be on the corridor and when would they come if all of this happened. And so it's roughly a bus every 2 to 3 minutes.
At peak.
At peak. So imagine being able to walk out on the corridor and get to bus any 2 to 3 minutes would be great, but also making sure that there's enough safety in there, and that's a long time between buses because there'd be nothing else on the corridor except the bus, and then you'd have the trail on the side. So that's about the frequency you're talking about at peak to get all of that ridership.
Glad you mentioned electric earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, no, and there really are some cool options for electric. So, and the last option is light rail from Totem Lake to Issaquah via Bellevue. And this would run along the CKC until Bellevue, and then it would run parallel to I-90 and over to Issaquah. And this would be an exclusive runway. There would be, we would advocate 4 stations in Kirkland, and you know, as with all these options, there are low cost and high cost considerations, and the lower cost would have fewer stations. On all of these options, we're working on modeling travel time. I don't have that information yet. My staff is meeting with Metro staff next week, and city manager and I are meeting with leadership in Metro Transit, I think next week as well, to talk about modeling ridership and modeling frequency and how many buses would we be talking about for BRT. And similarly on light rail, you know, we'd need to work with Sound Transit on some modeling and how frequently would the trains run and that sort of thing. We're not that far along in the process yet.
Kathy, key point here is that Sound Transit's templates for both their version of bus rapid transit and light rail assume that they would come down the center of the corridor. So that's an issue that we've been discussing with them at great length. And one of the reasons we're working so hard is if this doesn't go over to the east side, then it will disrupt the corridor and it will become an issue that won't allow us to really get the master plan vision built.
And we have been super clear on that requirement for Kirkland.
Mr. Asher and Mr. Arnold.
Where's the downtown station? To get to downtown?
There isn't one on the light rail option. It's one of the things that we've learned with light rail is the way light rail is designed is you just want fewer stops. And this one would be the Houghton 6th Street stop would serve downtown as well, and we'd have to come up with some kind of connection, bus shuttle kind of connection.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Mr. Arnold?
And I was bringing up the same issue, is given that light rail has fewer stations, how did you pick these as the candidate stations if we were only to get a limited number?
Well, you know, and these are movable, obviously. We tried to hit the major employment and population centers and tried to pick locations where we could figure out connectivity. And actually, I do have some slides that I deleted from this because I got 40 slides here and I thought it was already getting too long. But if you're interested, I'd be happy to show you some of the routing and connection ideas that we've come up with. It's not ideal, but train stations are really expensive and it's harder to stop and start trains. And so we would be looking at fewer stops if it's trains. And so it's kind of tough. It's kind of hard to decide where exactly to put those stops.
If we had light rail, is 4 stations likely the maximum that Sound Transit would do? Could it even be fewer?
It could be fewer, and I've seen concepts, low-cost concepts with fewer. So, and again, we have more work to do on this, and we've also done a lot more work than we have time to talk about here. So I'm very happy to follow up with any of you individually on the details. In talking to our consultant this afternoon, he worked very hard on some of the connectivity slides that in the end, I thought, I'm going to take up the whole council meeting, and I cut him out. So make sure you see them.
I'm concerned that low cost in the way you're using it ends up being a cost shift to other budgets, and that doesn't necessarily end up as a low cost option.
totally agree, and I'm glad that you said that, because I want to be really clear. Kirkland Public Works staff are not proposing the low-cost options. Those are options that we have seen from Sound Transit staff, and you know, quite frankly, from my perspective, would be unacceptable levels of service to Kirkland.
And it's their terminology, not our terminology. Yeah.